Hi, everybody. Jimmy DeYoung. Welcome back to Prophecy Today. Well, as promised, we have David Dolan with his Middle East News Update. Going to talk about several historic events as it relates to the time period of this year, and especially in the month of November. David, thank you for coming along with us. And let me just remind you, as I was reminded earlier today, that on the 19th of November in 1977, Menachem Begin welcomed Anwar Sadat, who was the president of Egypt, into Israel. And the Egyptian president addressed the Israeli Knesset. It was a history-making event 40 years ago. But in reality, as we look at the end results of that visit, the Camp David Accords, a peace agreement between Israel and Egypt, it's not doing too well, and the future is pretty much uncertain, is it not?
It is. The peace between Israel and Egypt has been cool at best. One of the things that provided for the treaty was for tourism to be open between both countries, but very, very few Egyptians, apart from some business people, mostly have come to Israel. There's still a feeling amongst the Muslims that they can't go there because the Jews are occupying the holy sites of the Muslims. And, of course, most Egyptians are Muslims. The Coptic Christians, some of them do come to Israel and tour, but that's about it. Of course, it went through the strain of the Arab Spring, too. That was the greatest test of the relationship between Israel and Egypt because, of course, that ended up with the Muslim Brotherhood taking over Egypt for a couple years until ousted by the military. Ties are improving now again, Jimmy, but it's been a rocky road. I'll never forget that speech that Sadat gave at the Knesset. I was already signed up to go to Israel the next year with a Christian group called Project Kibbutz, and so I was watching the news in Israel very, very closely, and it turns out that a year later in November, I would be in the Sinai Peninsula that was still then under Israeli control. I went down with my group. We toured down there to Sharm el-Sheikh and other of the resorts down there. Had a great time, but then the next year it reverted to Egyptian control. And of course, we all knew that was going to happen, so the Israelis were marching down there in droves, Jimmy, to have a last visit down there under Israeli control. And tourism there was supposed to continue, but of course terrorists rose up and started attacking the Israelis. So that more or less died on the vine, and still today there's limited tourism to the Sinai from Israel, even though the Israelis love the place and would go down there much more often if indeed it wasn't essentially a war zone now with ISIS there and other groups fighting the Egyptian forces. So it's not a very attractive place today for tourism.
And let's continue on the line of historic events. It was 100 years ago this time that the battle for Jerusalem with the British Army in the Middle East under General Allenby, after the battle over there in Beersheba, they came to Jerusalem. A battle for Jerusalem began ultimately with General Allenby taking the surrender from the Ottoman Empire. Remind us of that historic event.
Yes, 100 years ago yesterday, November 17th, the Battle of Jerusalem began. As you say, it came right in the heels of the battle over Beersheba that the Australians and New Zealand cavalry on horses fought mainly in a great victory, and General Allenby was involved in that as well. And then there was a month-long, pretty intense battle with the remaining Muslim forces, mostly Turkish forces, but some others, to take control of Jerusalem. And in early December, 100 years ago, General Allenby walked through Jaffa Gate instead of riding on his horse through it because he said, this is the town that my Messiah walked in, so I'm not going to come in on a horse. I'm going to, you know, be humble and come in. And he proclaimed the British victory. So a lot of events being commemorated. Of course, the 70th anniversary of Israel's existence coming up next year. We had, of course, this year the 50th anniversary of the reunion of Jerusalem under Jewish control, so a lot happening, and there are going to be several special events in Israel marking the battle for Jerusalem, just as there was in Beersheba a couple weeks ago, where Prime Minister Netanyahu was joined by the Australian and New Zealand leaders.
Well, those are historic events that have taken place in the past, but history is being made even in the Middle East today. Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin meeting just briefly and putting together a deal on Syria, which is going to allow Iran, Hezbollah, to travel freely in the northern border area of Israel, and right there at the border between Israel and Jordan. I mean, this is not good as far as Israel's concerned, is it?
No, Prime Minister Netanyahu is extremely upset over this, Jimmy, and, you know, he has a close friendship with Donald Trump, in fact, one that's gone back many, many years, not just since Trump got into politics, and he's expressed himself that this will not stand. Particularly, Jimmy, it allows Iranian forces and their allies to come up to 4 miles north of the Golan Heights border with Israel. Of course, the international community doesn't recognize that border, and that's one of the excuses that the Russians give for doing this, that, well, the Israelis shouldn't be up there anyway, so if they get, you know, in trouble, that's their problem. But it is definitely something that the Israelis are not going to stand for, Jimmy. And just a hint of that, we're talking about historic things. Israeli Chief of Staff General Eisenkopf gave an interview to a Saudi newspaper this week. Now, that has never happened before, that any Israeli military official has been quoted in the directly interviewed and quoted in a Saudi newspaper. They're all state-controlled, by the way, in Saudi Arabia, the press there. And in it, he warned that this Iranian crescent, as he called it, that is stretching from Iran over to Beirut and other parts of Lebanon, will not stand, that Israel cannot allow this to continue. Of course, he's talking to a Saudi audience that basically agrees with him that Iran is the enemy. And he basically said, Jimmy, that war is on the way. He said, we can't abide this. He said, with Donald Trump in power now, we have an ability to do things we couldn't do before. So there's a strong hint that Israel would be involved with back the Saudis and other Sunni Arabs that would fight against Iran. And, of course, Hezbollah would undoubtedly get involved in the north. And we just talked about Syria. They have all these forces there that could get involved. So it's clear to me, Jimmy, that the Israeli leadership, both military and political, has concluded that the time has come to take on Iran. And it seems like the new Saudi crown prince, Salman, who, by the way, Jimmy, press reports say secretly visited Israel in September. That hasn't been confirmed by either official source, but it is all over the Middle East media, including in Israel and the Arab countries, that Prince Salman actually made a surprise secret visit to talk to Israeli officials in Tel Aviv. He didn't go to Jerusalem, but in Tel Aviv. So there's a growing alliance between those two countries, and it's pretty obvious to close observers that they have concluded they have to take on Iran. They can't let this continue, even though that may mean a clash with Russia backing Iran and backing Syria. It might mean a clash between Israel and Syria directly. It might really mean a war that engulfs the entire Middle East, that everybody would get involved with, including Egypt. Everyone would take sides on. But, you know, Jimmy, as General Eisenkopf pointed out in another interview, the oldest conflict in the Middle East is not between the Jews and the Arabs. I mean, they fought in ancient times, but, you know, that wasn't a specific thing. The oldest ongoing dispute is between the Shiites and the Sunnis, going on since the year 632. And there have been active clashes all through those centuries between these two sects of Islam, the Sunni wing being by far the largest. And most people don't realize that, but this has been ongoing forever, and it calmed down a bit after the superpowers, the big powers, ended World War I and took control of the area. There wasn't much strife in the 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s, but since the Iranian Revolution, in particular in 1979, the same year that Sadat went to the, in fact, the same month, it was also in November that took place. So that also happened 40 years ago this month, Jimmy, and that has changed the dynamic in the entire Middle East. It's taken 40 years to come to this head, but it now looks to most observers that an explosion is coming, and that this dispute between Iran and Saudi Arabia, between the Shiites and the Sunnis, is going to be fought out. And in the midst of that, as I said last week, very likely that Israel will take out Iran's nuclear capability at that point, that they will go over and bomb those facilities that, as I pointed out, still have their centrifuges inside of them, ready to be turned on in an hour, and within 4 days they can be producing weapons-grade material. So the Israelis are not going to stand for that. Netanyahu's made that clear, and any new conflict would certainly involve Israel, and I think in that theater as well.
Well, very interesting information coming from David Dolan. Also, one other report, will not have time to deal with it, but the report out of Saudi Arabia is that King Salman is going to step aside and allow his son to become the king, and he'll have responsibility for dealing with Iran, most likely in partnership with Israel. David Dolan and a Middle East News Update. It's key that you hear this each and every week if you want to understand how Bible prophecy is coming into a position where it can ultimately and in the very near future be fulfilled. David, thank you so much, my good friend. We'll have to talk again next week.
We will, Jimmy. God bless. Thank you.
We're going to take a break, and when we come back, Winky Madad is going to talk to us about the fact there will be 1 million Jewish settlers in Judea and Samaria. Now, that is a fulfillment of Bible prophecy. You don't want to miss that conversation. It's all ahead right here on Prophecy Today.